Okay, let's move on to the next part of our calendar, which is item 325.
Authorize the first sale of general obligation bonds for Portland Parks and Recreation repairs and improvements as approved by voters on November 4, 2014.
Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. This is an exciting day, and I'm pleased to introduce Jonas Berry from the City's Debt Manager to explain it.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Mayor, good morning. For the record, Jonas Berry, the City's Debt Manager. In November 2014, voters approved up to $68 million in bonds for parks improvements. This ordinance authorizes the first issuance of up to $29 million in voter-approved general obligation bonds to finance parks improvement projects. Proceeds from the first bond issue will cover the first 2 years of expected project expenditures from an initial project list, and we expect that a second bond issue will occur in spring or summer of 2017 to fund expenditures from the first project list that extend beyond the two-year spending window, plus amounts to fund a second project list that's currently under development. Parks will conduct a public involvement process to identify specific projects for the second list. And next week, Parks will bring forward to Council information about the Community Oversight Committee that will review performance and report back to you. Security and payment for the Parks bonds will be provided by a dedicated citywide property tax levy as approved by voters. And as previously described to Council and to voters, a prior tax levy for a prior Parks bond issue ended in fiscal year 14-15. The City's intent is to structure the newly authorized bonds so that the levy impact of the new bonds should not exceed the estimated levy rate of 8.77 cents, which recently expired. To achieve this goal, the first bond issue will have an atypical repayment structure, as we need to leave capacity for the second bond issue in 2017. Property taxes generated by this levy are specifically dedicated for payment of the bonds and may only be used for that purpose. The bonds are expected to be paid off over a period of no more than 15 years. We expect to sell the bonds in June via competitive bidding process. And by selling and closing in June, we can ensure that an appropriate levy amount is submitted to the county tax assessor in July so that the replacement levy rate appears on the November 2015 tax rolls. Citizens interested in purchasing the 2015 bonds should contact their investment brokers for information about that. And I'd be happy to answer a question about the bonds, but I think first Parks Director Mike Abate will discuss what's to come and the proposed Citizen Oversight Committee.
Thank you, Jonas. Mr. Mayor, members of Council, Mike Abate, Portland Parks and Recreation Director. And though it's April Fool's Day, Portlanders are no fools. And once again, in November, Portlanders stepped up to make a major investment in an institution that they love, and that's the parks and recreation, the programs, the places, and the people of our Bureau. It's also a historic day. Just as an aside, April Fool's Day is my anniversary of 4 days or 4 years with the city, and there is nothing that I'm more proud of in my 4 years here than this bond measure. And at this and every milestone along the way, we want to make sure that that we thank the voters that have continued to make this investment in parks for so long. We want to share our approach today of splitting up the bond measure into at least two bond issuances, one this spring and summer, and the second one in 2017. What we're doing is borrowing the minimum amount necessary to get us through the first 2 years, and that will allow us to minimize interest that we pay on money that would be essentially sitting around until other projects come on board. A second part of our strategy is a public involvement process in late 2016 that's designed to get more input about where our priorities should be for the about $20 million in project funds that are not specifically allocated and earmarked for projects on our initial project list. With major maintenance needs of nearly $300 million still unfunded, there will still be many competing needs for those that second issuance, $20 million, but we will engage the public in making those decisions. The second list of projects will continue to focus on the replacement bond theme, which is urgent major repairs and replacement. The schedule for that has been moved back a year. Reason is to give us a little bit more time about scoping the individual projects and to really be able to focus on these first 2 years of project implementation. So again, that's scheduled for 2016 after the initial Oversight Committee report is issued. We have supplemented bond funds, as a matter of fact, leveraged them for key projects with some SDC funds used only as appropriate, and we'll continue to look for ways to leverage the bond funds with outside grants and private fundraising efforts. At the moment, our staff is fully engaged in refining the planning, the staff recruitment and orientation, and along with hitting a goal of starting on these projects, hitting the ground running effective the 1st of July, as soon as those funds are available. Early projects include Grant Pool and Pioneer Courthouse Square, where systems are failing, Lentz and Park Lane Parks, where needs are great, and 13 others. In fact, Grant Pool, Cooch Park, Pioneer Courthouse Square are already underway with project managers assigned and work beginning. Pioneer Courthouse Square will be getting renovated as early as late 2016, with completion scheduled for late 2017/2018. Grant Pool will probably be the first completed project scheduled for the pool season of next summer, 2016. The Springwater Trail Bridge will probably be the last from this first list, scheduled for April of 2019. Next week, we'll bring forward the selections for the Community Oversight Committee. You have each nominated someone for this important group, and by next week, we expect that the last couple of them to confirm their participation. We look forward to engaging them in our work and getting good advice from them on the implementation. Your appointments will ensure that they're that they are fully briefed and ready to go once the bond funds are in place. I want to also thank Jonas Beery for his great assistance and leadership. The assistant Parks Director Warren Jimenez, Kia Selly, Jen Yoakum, Jeff Schaefer, Eileen Argentina, and Deb Lev. They have been working overtime to scope these projects and get ready for this day and for beginning the projects in July. And also Commissioner Fritz wants to also thank a very important person that's a part of our team as well. So that's the end of my remarks. But we have three people that I'd like to introduce that are.
Sure. You mentioned that you hope to have this oversight body impaneled. And do you have the names of all the nominees?
We have names, but we're confirming participation on one or two of them. So that's why we're bringing them back a week from today.
As I understand, there's a couple of rather famous names of people that have been approached.
There are.
Familiar names.
Familiar names.
In the Parks
and famous.
Keep everybody in suspense for another week.
Celebrities.
Tune in next week for another inciting of the Parks Bond.
Yes. So we have three people to testify today. First, the chair of the Park and Recreation Parks Board, Kathy Fong Stevens. After Kathy, we'll hear from the former executive director of the Portland Parks Foundation and co-chair of the Fix Our Parks campaign, Nick Hartig. And then finally, we're pleased to be joined by Don Goldberg from the Trust for Public Lands.
Before that, does council have any questions for either Mike or Jonas?
So when you renovate Pioneer Courthouse Square, what happens to all those bricks with our names on them?
Good question, Commissioner. We will be replacing or lifting and reinstalling the bricks, the ones that aren't damaged, but damaged bricks will be redone with people's names on
it. Well, that's the way, I'm not sure we should give that away so easily. How much did Dan pay for his brick?
It's quite the deal, and there are still bricks available to be purchased.
Given inflation and, Commissioner, given change circumstances. I think if Dan wants a brick, shouldn't there be an additional premium?
There has been a vigorous discussion about this on the Pioneer Courthouse Square Board, and the commitment was that the bricks would be there in perpetuity. So there is no additional fee, and they will be going back, I presume, in the same places. So, but there are also other bricks available for purchase, and so if Portlanders would like to be part of this once-in-a-lifetime deal, because you only pay for it once in your lifetime, certainly go on the Pioneer Courthouse Square website and sign up.
If I may make a suggestion, it appears that David Geffen is willing to spend lots and lots of money to have his name on things, so I think we should reach out to him.
So if we own a brick today, we could just send in a contribution to say take good care of it for another 50
years.
That
would be nice.
That would be wonderful. Yes.
By the way, are the names still visible on the bricks? Because I noticed, like, at some other parks, with enough wear and tear, they end up sort of getting obscured a bit.
Yeah, there are some bricks that are obscured. We'll be replacing those, but in general, they're fairly legible. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. I'm still there. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, come on up.
Good Good morning. I'm Kathy Fong Stevens, Chair of the Parks Board. And the Parks Board members asked me to come here and thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership and Energizer Bunny-like energy for attending dozens, if not hundreds, of gatherings of Portlanders to get the word out about the bond this last year and the need for this funding. It really made a huge difference. And they wanted me to thank you, the City Council, for your commitment to Portland's park system and for your knowledge that it's essential to our livable city in so many ways. Obviously, as community gathering places, supporting healthy lifestyles and affordable family fun, protecting nature, and not least, being the employer of the largest number of teenagers in the city. The Parks Board has been advocating for a new replacement bond for more than 6 years, and it's great gratifying to see it finally happening. And it took the efforts of all of you, the Parks Foundation, and so many people who cherish our parks. And so thank you very much, and we're looking forward to this next phase.
Thank you. Morning.
Morning.
Mr. Mayor and members of council, I'm Nick Hardig, the former executive director of Portland Parks Foundation, the former co-chair with our Parks Commissioner of the Fix Our Parks Committee. I'm the new executive director of the Audubon Society of Portland, and I'm honored to be here in front of you to testify regarding this important day and effort for our park system. I'd also like to thank, with the other people who took a role, just Amanda Fritz for her huge role in the campaign. To have the confidence that we could succeed, and also the personal level of engagement and commitment at all hours of the day to make it possible. There were so many citizens and groups that advocated for this bond that shook banners in the rain, put up yard signs, and generously donated so that this could succeed. It was a beautiful community effort, and thank you, Commissioner, for making it possible and for the support of everyone, all of you. Chief among our unsung heroes, I think, is the Trust for Public Land, and since Don Goldberg might not say it himself, the Trust for Public Land and the Conservation Campaign, its affiliated organization, provided fiscal sponsorship, expertise, and a generous grant, and Don will speak next. The nonprofit Portland Parks Foundation, as a supportive hub for our park system and the people and groups that support it, we applaud the use of a citizen oversight committee. This committee will provide the expert outside review, the public engagement necessary to maintain a high degree of public confidence in our Parks Bureau. And that confidence is absolutely essential if Portland is to carry out its responsibility to maintain all of our park assets. Our park system is aging. Much of the infrastructure will require replacement. $68 million from this bond is just a piece of the $360 million that's slated for needs for the next decade. And in addition to those needs for maintenance, we also have, we want every citizen to have access to a park for a healthier Portland. If well conducted, these bond-funded projects will set the stage for a future ballot measure to address all of the critical maintenance needs we have and the challenges of providing park access to all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. We're celebrating and confirming our good work and our dedication and our deliverables. And I as well, since Mike brought it up, today is my 7th anniversary with the Trust for Public Land. I started work on April 1st, 7 years ago here in Portland. As many already know, the Trust for Public Land and our sister C4 organization, TCC, have been at the forefront of conservation finance measures, both locally here as well as nationally. And some recent examples include Metro's recent levy, the 95 and 2006 bond measures, THPRD's $100 million bond measure, the cities of Tigard, Springfield, and Bend, and of course Measure 76, which guarantees a portion of all state lottery funds will help finance state parks and OWEB for a 25-year period. And of course our most recent partnership, Measure 26-159, the reason we're here, to benefit the city of Portland. Together, we've raised hundreds of millions of dollars for conservation work here in the metro area, as well as the state of Oregon. At the Trust for Public Land, we realize that even though our mission is to protect and acquire properties for trails, parks, and natural areas, it's also very essential that we operate and maintain these precious resources. Without proper funding, we believe public support will dwindle for future key park acquisitions that are still required to some of our outlying communities. On behalf of the Trust for Public Land and TCC, I want to thank everyone who was involved with this incredible partnership and partners process that led to this successful passing of the measure. More than one time, my national team has cited the professionalism and the process of our steering committee, as well as all the volunteers, as the gold standard in passing a measure. So the Trust for Public Land strongly supports this measure, and we thank you for all your support.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Others that want to speak on this item?
Yes, we have five people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Joe Walsh, Steve Entwistle, and Lightning.
Okay, Mr. Walsh, I think you're first.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. On this bond measure that was passed by the citizens of Portland, I personally voted for it, and Individuals for Justice supported it. Our concern is something that happened recently with the smoking ban in our parks. We believe that if that was before the ballot measure, we would have opposed this ballot measure solely on that. Our concern is that people that are houseless or homeless are going to be profiled under the guise of smoking a cigarette to be excluded from the parks. So we ask that an amendment be submitted by this council saying that no monies under this particular grant from the people of Portland not be used to hinder, arrest, or cite anybody in the parks for smoking. Now, I don't smoke, so this does not affect me. This, to me, is a civil rights question, and we are still furious over the smoking ban in the parks.
Well, because I think I can answer your question.
We think.
Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
We think that this could be used to hurt people, and the way this council has handled the homeless question and people on the streets is a disgrace, and we see this as a continuation. Mayor, you wanted to say something.
Yes, I'm happy to answer your question about the funds.
I'd like to clarify, please.
This is a capital bond measure. So,
by law, we are not allowed to use this money for operations. Can only be used for what was specified in the bond measure, and that is for repair and replacement of capital projects in the parks.
Okay. That sounds good.
That's good. Thank you.
We will hold you to that.
You will, and so will state law. Who's next? Mr. Lightning?
Good morning, Council. My name is Stephen Entwistle, a lifelong resident here of Portland. Love the parks. Member of Individuals for Justice and CEO of Healing Man Sanctuary. my issue here is along with the smoking law that is now being imposed on the public, which came down as fastballs under the public radar. I think a lot more people would have had a lot more to say about it instead of the less than 300 people that were found to make any kind of comment on it at all. We're making parks into a place where certain folks can go, and certain folks are used to having their parks be a certain way. Like in California, they have certain rules and on smoking and such in their parks. So they're used to having those kinds of laws. Okay, we're not here. Okay. When people say, well, we want everybody to be in the parks. We don't want everybody to come into the parks. I don't believe that, not for one moment. Not based on what I've seen in the past couple of years, especially here in Portland. When you throw fastballs under the public radar with laws and such, it gets the people that are locked into the workday culture. They don't have a say. They cannot speak out about these issues. And to me, that's underhanded, sneaky, reactionary, unnecessary, and extreme. But I love the parks. I think building the parks and making them nice is great. And I think hiring folks that are local to do it is even better. In fact, you can even put some folks that haven't worked in a long time to work in the parks. That would even be better. But I don't see that as being one of the options. And as a result, there's a lot of people that could do those jobs that aren't doing them. And that's based on a lot of, just the typical history. So we oppose this. For those general reasons, and we think everybody should be in the park, not just the 1%. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. One of the concerns I had on this bond originally was, is this going to be more or less a great benefit to the parks and not and leave transportation kind of on the sidelines of the timing when this was passed. And I'm still wondering to see really what happens on this if this gas tax doesn't come through at a number that is within reason, then it's going to be very interesting on where this transportation issue ends up going. So I've always had concern on this. And another issue I have on this is that because, in my opinion, the SDCs are... we're having a building frenzy. There should be ample funds coming in, if not a tremendous amount. And again, so I've always questioned the timing of this on having transportation left to the side. Now, one of the main things I want to have focused on is that we've seen a lot of acquisition of various properties for parks. Some even paid higher than the appraisal value or asking price. So I question that, and again, I always refer back to FIN 2.03 on maintenance and operation of major capital assets should be given priority over acquisition of new assets unless an analysis indicates a net benefit or the funding source to add it, to acquire or develop a new asset cannot be used for operating and maintenance. And why I have a problem on some of these parks is that We're seeing estimates on what it's going to cost to maintain these parks, but in all reality, until they're developed, we really don't know where that number's going to be. And I've tried to figure out, even on like the Simon and Helen Director Park, now that park right there is the most expensive park in the system. And I always wonder on that, on maintaining these parks, on how these costs are actually calculated overall. So I have a lot of concern on these newer parks that are being proposed to being developed. I understand this bond money, like I say, is for the repair and replacement of capital projects in the parks. But I want to also have an understanding that, you know, when we're talking transportation, we're talking like $5+ billion in capital assets. When you're talking parks, my understanding, we're about $1 billion to maybe $1.5 billion. So when you're talking $300 million-plus for the maintenance and deferred repairs, when you look at the assets overall, transportation is asking for $1 million. You might be at $300 to $500 million. But the overall asset dollar amount is quite a bit more toward transportation, and I think the benefits toward transportation might even be more necessary at this time. So I'm just questioning this overall issue on so much money being provided to the parks. And again, transportation has been neglected, so I have an issue with the timing of all this at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The next two are Charles Johnson and Barry Sutton.
Hey, Mr. You want to go first? Go ahead, Barry.
Thank you. Good morning.
Just about this item, Barry.
Good morning, okay. Mayor. About the encampment in back of Washington High School, I hope the area isn't, as it was sold to the park, from the public schools to the Park Bureau, I hope it isn't made into a park, but instead used for an encampment for the homeless. And I spoke last week with your aide, Josh Alpert, and apparently something has to be changed in the what it was in the intent of the sale, and then after that's done, it can be used for that encampment. And Commissioner Fritz, you could tell us maybe what I put on your note. What they certainly weren't your thoughts, but I mean, maybe the thoughts of some people. Let them eat cake, and I think I put a question mark by
that
there.
Sound like Commissioner Fritz, but we will look into.
Yeah, yes,
we'll look into that, Barry.
Yes, what I'm saying.
That will not be, Barry.
Yeah. Yes. Right. What I'm saying is that to sell that to a group of people and have a few people gain money off of, when there are all these people that are living on the sidewalk. And one thing, coming here this morning, I didn't notice any more tents on the sidewalk. They may have been moved off by the authorities, but there are a lot of people that just need a place to live.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your advocacy.
I hope those efforts come to something, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for hearing me.
You bet. Take care. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I was pleased to see the information as it comes up on page 3 of the PDF. My only regret is that Pioneer Courthouse Square beat out restrooms by about $600,000. So as the next phase, after we do this first $29 million, I hope that we'll see some increasing work in that area. The last week or the week before, we had some discussion about private partnership funding of parks. And I hope there will be some public discussion to find ways to that, so that people who and corporations that evade taxes can improve their city citizenship. And in addition to the taxpayer finance, $69 million that will be going on, that we can see you fine commissioners use your wonderful connections to get Fox Tower and American Property Management and stuff to feel good about having some of the money they collect as rents come back to finance public-private partnerships. I should have prepared better for this to know exactly what goes on with the budget of our living room private partnership where Pacific Patrol has their security office. But I think that that having the possibility of small local districts, you know, as we talked about New York City being divided into a lot of tiny, I don't even think they're BIDs, but one for Flatiron, one for Bryant Square, et cetera. And I think that that's an excellent opportunity for us to have a exercise in democracy where citizens try and keep the companies from being overly advertising and influenced, but though they can still push for business people to have a chance to expose their company's name and put some money into the community. The other issue that's on my mind is that next time we do a breakout about something as substantial as $29 million, I hope that we will do a better job of applying the equity lens and talk about breakdown by zip code and East Portland and neighborhoods and such. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you both. Yeah. Anyone else on this item? So any questions for staff?
If staff could come back up for a sec. Mike in. Mayor and colleagues, yesterday during the budget work session, we learned that the city has preserved its AAA credit rating for its general obligation debt. And we know that that's important because it allows us to borrow debt on very favorable terms, which then allows us to spend more money on worthy projects. And I thought since we had our finance team here, we'd ask, what in this market, what does a AAA credit rating translate to in terms of an interest rate on the debt?
Good question, Commissioner, and yeah, you're correct. We do expect these bonds to be issued with the highest AAA rating, the highest rating possible, which translates to the lowest cost of borrowing. We're currently projecting a cost of borrowing south of 2.5%.
Well, that's brilliant.
Well, actually, 20 years ago, we were in this same exercise selling the first set of bonds for our previous Parks bond measure. And as it happened, Orange County, California, defaulted on $110 million of bonds a month after we passed our bond measure. And so we had a little more of a hill to climb than may be the case at this point. And so they even took the commissioner in charge along at that point when they made the presentation to the rating agencies to keep that AAA bond rating. And they had hard questions for our team, but our team was, as we can today, able to answer those questions with a record of good fiscal management. And we got good ratings even after Orange County shook the foundations of municipal finance. So fortunately, the climate, both in terms of bond rates and municipal behavior, is a little better this time.
Yeah, so just I think it's useful to connect the dots on this because that's a very low rate, and that means less money will be going to debt service, more money will be going into the projects you'll be prioritizing, and so congratulations.
Other questions or direction to the team? Commissioner, thank you very much for bringing this first piece forward. This will roll over to second reading for adoption by the council next week.
And then let me make some comments, if I may.
And then please do.
I really appreciate everyone being here and appreciate the support of the entire council in the whole effort and the team of Portland Parks and Recreation, absolutely everyone, I think from the director down to seasonal folks who work just a few hours a week were dedicated to getting this bond measure passed and, of course, not campaigning for it on work time, but telling their friends and neighbors. And so thank you to the Parks Board, the Portland Parks Foundation, particularly Nick Warren and Jesse Bond, who are the staff to Nick Hartig, fondly known as Jesse and the Two Nicks. And that Nick Warren and Jesse Bond were particularly helpful in shuffling me from one event to the next so that I could do as many as possible, and I greatly appreciated those. I want to also thank Marianne Casson, who is our new program bond manager, who you will remember from a previous bond.
Very fondly.
Yes, so and I think that everybody's going to be very excited next week. It'll be nice, actually, that we can vote on the committee next week as well as the final vote on this. Particular shout out to City Attorney Harry Auerbach, who is very, very careful on all of our parks issues, and Patty Howard and Tim Crail on my staff. Particularly thank you to Commissioner Fish. I did do over 100 events in the first 60 days of the campaign. I did not make a single fundraising call. My colleagues to my left made a lot of fundraising calls, and the committee raised over $200,000 to fund the campaign. Campaigns in Portland are not cheap, and you have to reach 300,000 voters, and so it takes money, and I appreciate my colleagues for making those calls, and particularly Commissioner Fish, who for the last 40 days of the campaign took over being the face of the campaign and helped bring it home, so thank you very much.
That's actually why the margin of victory shrank a little bit, with this being the face of the campaign, but all we had to do was mention that you were unavailable to make certain calls, and people were very generous in supporting your work and your leadership, Commissioner Fritz, so it was an honor.
Great work all around. Thank you all. So this moves to second reading next week.